Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Finances with Francine and Friends. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my delight and pleasure to be with you. If this is your first time tuning into the show, we thank you so very much. And for our listeners that are on with us every Friday, we thank you as well. Today, my co-hosts are Kevin Green and Michelle Ewing. And I'm going to bring them on. And while they're logging in, our mission is to share information, updates, guest highlights, and keep you educated on all things financial. Hello, Michelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hi. How are you doing today, Francine?
I am fabulous. It is Friday.
I know that's right.
Hi, Francine.
Hey. Hello, Kevin. Well, thank
hey
you
there,
so
Kevin.
Much.
How are you?
Doing okay.
Great. It is awesome to be with you again. Michelle and Kevin will be sharing with us some great information today. They're both with Five Rings Financial, and they're going to talk about financial freedom. And today, our topic is Social Security. What does that have to do with your retirement plan? So we're going to get right in because we got a lot of questions today to cover. And so I want to ask Michelle to reintroduce herself because somebody may be here that has not heard about you before. Tell what you do, and then we'll get into the questions. And after we let Kevin introduce himself.
All right. I can't imagine anybody on here not knowing who I am now. I mean, for crying out loud, you know. I'm from I should know who I am by now. My name is Michelle Ewing. As I stated, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. I came to Virginia Beach via the Navy. I spent 27 years in the Navy as a junior enlisted sailor and then as an officer in the Navy, making sure that I could help support and defend not only the country but the men and women who were put in my charge. I have been in the financial industry for about a little over a year and a half now. However, while I was inside the Navy, I did help to manage a $1.3 billion budget in pay and compensation. And I also was a part of a team of people who we did, you know, financial counseling for sailors and officers in the Navy just to make sure they could keep their finances in check, we could keep them in the Navy, and they could keep their mind on the mission. So now, instead of being in uniform, my uniform is now Five Rings Financial, still helping to support and defend people and help developing them to become their best financial selves. And I help people win because I am a winner, and that's important to me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kevin Green, and I am originally from New York, New York. That's Manhattan, New York, New York, not Brooklyn. And I started off in banking and finance. I worked for about 14 years in that field, culminating in managing a billion-dollar debt and equity portfolio. Then I left finance and began to practice law. I practiced law for over 20 years. And in the last 2 years, I've now returned to my financial roots, and I'm working with Five Rings Financial, advising people on how money works, helping them plan their tax-free retirement, as well as to obtain living benefits, life insurance. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here today, Francine.
Well, thank you. And I am Francine Humphrey, and for full disclosure, I am also with Five Rings Financial. I've been in the industry for over 7 years, been with Five Rings for 5 years, started out as a part-time associate, and now have moved up into the full-time position. And I'm very excited to have Kevin and Michelle as a part of our dream team. And I know that Michelle's team is trying to take our name, so we ain't even going to get into that today on the show. But anyway, we're going to keep it moving. So, Michelle.
So, shot across the bow.
Yes. So, Michelle, what is the Social Security Act and how did it come about?
Okay. Well, so the Social Security Act was something that was signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, which he signed into law August 14th, like in 1935, right? And what it did was created a program that would pay monthly benefits to retired workers starting at the age of 65 or older. It also established a payroll tax to fund the program and required the employers to withhold the tax from the employee wages. The reason why it was established is because during the Great Depression, it was a time of widespread unemployment and poverty among the elderly. So they created this federal program in order to provide for the general welfare of people who were elderly, and it established a system of federal old age benefits according to that particular preamble of that 1935 Social Security Act. And they made their actual first payment 5 years later with the regular monthly payments to retirees to a woman named Ida Mae Fuller, who lived in Vermont. And her amount was $22.54, and that started January of 1940. You know, she worked as a legal secretary, and she collected those payments until she was 100 years old in 1975,
wow.
Right? So those payments have continued for retired workers to this day, and they have gradually increased to about an average of around $1,400, $1,500 per month, and that's as of January of 2019. Okay, we're still working on this year now. So it came about because of the Great Depression. The one thing about it, though, is when it was created, it was very discriminatory, okay? It was designed in such a way that it would exclude farm workers and domestic workers while protecting the Southern way of life, right? And most specifically, farm workers and domestic workers were excluded from that old age insurance as well as the unemployment insurance, because that was also a part of Social Security at that time, that unemployment insurance, because remember, a lot of people were out of work. So I've seen commercials where it's like, oh, it's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, it's part of your American right. But largely the people in those videos were white males, right? So they were helping them to understand that it was nothing to be ashamed of to come and collect their Social Security benefits for being unemployed, because they're trying to make sure that people eat. But those jobs that they excluded from the old age insurance as well as the unemployment insurance was occupied by African Americans, okay? So when he made it into a law, 65% of African Americans throughout the nation were ineligible. And that percentage got even higher when you looked at African-Americans in the South. And if you remember at that time, there were not many, even white women, in the workforce. So it was largely, even though a white woman was the first person to receive that retirement benefit, it was designed very heavily for white males because not many white women were in the workforce. And the women that were in the workforce, they were African-American women or women of color, and they worked as domestic servants, and they were excluded from that bill. So that's just a little black history fact that I'd like to throw up in there, you know, when it comes to the piece of social justice, because, you know, I'm very heavily involved with social justice issues, and we need to understand the history of Social Security and how it impacts communities of colors, and more specifically the African-American community, because a lot of times when policy comes out, it is very black and white. And I mean that literally, you know. So that's a little bit about the Social Security Act.
Okay, great. And that's great information, Michelle, because I don't think a lot of people know even how it got started or why it was started. But thank you for sharing the information. Kevin, before we get too deep into this discussion, who qualifies for Social Security benefits and how does everyone qualify?
Well, thank you. First of all, Michelle, that was great information, a lot of detail. I really appreciate that. Not everybody will qualify for Social Security, but most people do. One of the first criteria for qualifying is just to have paid into the Social Security system for a total of, or minimum of 40 quarters. They don't have to be 40 consecutive quarters, but it has to be a minimum of 40 quarters, which is about 10 years of working and contributing into the system. Next requirement is you have to be at least 62 years old in order to take out a reduced retirement benefit from Social Security. And you have to work a little bit longer than that if you're looking for a full benefit from Social Security. And, of course, if you delay taking your Social Security until about age 70, you can actually increase the benefit that you receive each year. But, like I say, most people do qualify for it one way or the other, although not everybody will qualify for Social Security.
Okay. And, ladies and gentlemen, in case that went over your head, you have to work, have a job, and pay into it, and then you will receive it. If you do not work or you have a job where they're not taking out benefits, you may not qualify for Social Security. So I just wanted to throw that in there. And Michelle, what encompasses Social Security benefits? What's included, and how long does one have to be working in order to qualify for benefits?
Well, you know, nowadays it includes, like I mentioned a little bit, it is when you are unemployed, right? We're experiencing some of that stuff right now where it's now separated, but it's still under that those social insurance programs, because a lot of people don't realize that Social Security is actually an insurance, and you pay your premium, you and your employer pay your premium into this Social Security, which is a social insurance. So it includes the old age benefit, right? That's the retirement. And it also now includes the disability. However, you have to be fully insured, which Kevin just spoke to. You have to be working and paying into this Social Security insurance program for a minimum of 40 quarters, which is 10 years. That's 10 years of working and paying into this Social Security program. Because if you are not fully insured, remember, it is an insurance, and a lot of people don't look at it that way. If you are not fully insured, the only benefit that you will receive is that death benefit, which is $255 that they will hand over to your family in order to help bury you. Okay? So if you are only partially insured, which means you have not been paying into the Social Security program for 10 years, you will be partially insured, and you are only eligible and entitled to $255 death benefit in which to help bury you. That doesn't even pay for a cremation. So people need to understand that. People, if you work under the table, you know, and you're working off the books, also, if you're independent, you know, you're self-employed and you do not pay into Social Security, you are not eligible for Social Security benefits because you will not be paying your premium in order to be fully insured.
Thank you, Michelle. And I think that kind of sums it all up. But one other thing, Kevin, what are some of the factors that can affect your Social Security benefits?
Great question, Francine. There are many factors that can affect your Social Security benefit. One might be whether or not you've taken any benefits from Social Security, like for disability while you were working. That could impact how much you can receive from your retirement benefit from Social Security. Other factors may be government pension, if you're receiving that, income taxes, your maximum taxable earnings, income from other pensions, annuities, interest and dividends, what's called a windfall elimination provision, as well as your number of Social Security credits. Like as Michelle and I both alluded to before, you have to have those 40 quarters of credit in order to be eligible to receive. But one of the most surprising things that's a requirement for you receiving your Social Security retirement benefit is the type of work that you did. As Michelle had mentioned earlier, if you have farm work, that could impact it. If you were a household worker, it could impact it. But other things are like if you're a federal government employee, military service, if you work for a nonprofit or religious organization, if you have railroad earnings, and railroad workers also were excluded from receiving Social Security benefits initially. Whether you're self-employed, whether you're employed by the state or local governments, total number of wages that you pay into it, whether you're employed by a foreign government but working here in the United States, or if you're working outside of the United States as a United States citizen, all those things can impact whether or not you are eligible to receive Social Security benefits and how much.
Awesome, Kevin. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break so that we can pay the bill, and we'll be right back with Finances with Francine and Friends. You are listening to Finances with Francine and Friends, and this show has been sponsored by the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show with your hosts, yours truly, Francine Humphrey and Veronica McMillan. We are on every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so please join us here at the same link, and you will be able to reach our show, and then you can ask questions about any of our broadcasts. So thank you so very much. So, Michelle, I know that we've given a lot of information on the first part of the show, but I want to pause right here for a second and have you to let people know, if they want to find out more information about any of the things that we've been talking about on any of the shows, how they can contact you, and also about any events that you have coming up.
Okay. Was that Kevin or me? I don't know. Go ahead, Kevin. You take it away, Kevin.
That's good me. Just try to jump all in there.
Listen, from Brooklyn, that's how we do. Brooklyn is how.
Clearly. She's showing her true colors.
All right, y'all. All right, there. I got it. Okay. All right, Kevin, take it away. And then, Michelle, you just follow right behind him.
You can reach me via email at Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Green, G-R-E-E-N, at Fivering Financial. That's all spelled out, fiveringsfinancial.com. Again, that's Kevin, Green, at fiveringsfinancial.com. Brooklyn, you want to get on?
I thought you was going to tell them my, you know, upcoming events. Yeah, I was trying to give you some space.
Some about upcoming events. We have a website that you can tune into to see all our upcoming events. It is 5RF@eventbrite.com. That's the number 5RF@eventbrite.com. And we have many workshops for Five Rings Financial, whether it's a Money 101 workshop or Buying Women in Wealth. We have Working with Five Rings workshops that we have. They're all free of charge. They range in time from 30 minutes to an hour, maybe a little bit hour and 15 minutes on some. But we have at least 5 to 7 of them each week, and you can certainly tune in. They're all slightly different, so if you want to tune into more than one each week, you can contact us at that website. Again, it's 5RF@eventbrite.com, and register yourself.
All right. You can reach me at Michelle with one L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E dot E-W-I-N-G at FiveRingsFinancial, all spelled out, .com, or M-I-C-H-E-L-E dot E-W-I-N-G 1 at gmail.com, because y'all know I talk a lot, so I got to have many platforms, okay? Or you can also reach me at my website, www.livingbenefitsexperts.com/lifetime legacies, because I believe in building legacies for our children and our future. And like Kevin said, you're able to find us on 5RF East at eventbrite.com, and we have a number of events coming up: Wine, Women, and Wealth, Working with Five Rings, Cash and Coffee, Money 101. Please hit us up. We are available to give out so much information to help you understand your benefits that you have coming and help you plan for your financial future into retirement and beyond.
Okay, great. Michelle, we hear a lot of politicians and pundits speaking about American people treating Social Security like an entitlement. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, you know you're trying to get me fired up today. Okay. Yeah, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, right, that this is an insurance that you have been paying 6 to 6.5% of your income into on a monthly basis. It's that thing called FICA on your pay, you know, your payment slips. FICA, yeah, you've been paying that. You and your employer have been paying that. So guess what? You are entitled to it. It's an insurance. You've been paying your premium. If you've been paying your premium for those 40 quarters, at least those 10 years, you are entitled, repeat after me, entitled to your Social Security benefits, which are determined off of your top, your highest 35 years of earned income. So, yes, you are entitled to your Social Security benefits. And I like to try to tell my clients, don't you be going up in there with your hat in your hand, with your head down on the humble, acting like they doing something for you, because they are doing something for you. They are administering what is already yours. So my position is you better have my money. That's what I know. Have my money because it is my money, okay? You doing me the favor of administering it. You watching over it for me, okay? But trust, you are merely watching over it for me. It is mine to apply for, and it is mine to have. So, yes, I am entitled to what I paid into for at least 10 years, and I was in the military for 27 years and worked a little bit before this, so I know I pay up into that sucker for more than 30 years. Give me my money. It's mine. Yes, I'm entitled.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. And Kevin, I want to take this opportunity to talk a little bit more about the retirement process of Social Security. Is Social Security alone a good retirement plan? Why or why not? Because, you know, some people just, they just count on that. You know, I work, like Michelle said, I paid into the FICO, I'm entitled, I'm going to get my Social Security. Is that going to be enough?
All right. Thank you, Francine. First of all, I want to correct. I did give the wrong website information. Michelle gave the correct information. It's 5RFEast.Eventbrite.com. No, I don't think Social Security is going to be or should be your only retirement plan, especially depending on your age and when you're going to begin to collect Social Security. Currently, as of November 2019, the average retirement benefit from Social Security was $1,478 per month. Now, depending on where you live, Michelle and I joke around a lot because we're from New York. In New York, the average rent for a one-bedroom apartment is somewhere between $3,000 to $3,500 per month. So if the only thing you're receiving in your retirement is your Social Security benefit of $1,478, it's not going to keep a roof over your head. Now, I understand that there are many other areas around the country where the cost of living is significantly lower, and it will go further for you, but chances are, you know, it's not going to be enough to cover all your needs in retirement. Personally, I think that you work really hard throughout the course of your life. When you get to your retirement years, you should be able to live the retirement life of your dreams, not just get by and survive. And so if you plan ahead and you have other pieces to your retirement package, you can live the retirement lifestyle that you want, that you deserve, that you've worked all your life to obtain. So Social Security should definitely be part of your retirement plan, but I don't think you should count on it as being your entire retirement plan. Now, we have another little problem when it comes to Social Security. In the year 2035, there will be more older people drawing money out of Social Security than younger people paying into. Now, what that will do between now and then, policies have to figure out how they want to amend or adjust the Social Security Administration system, because otherwise we're going to break it. So there are only a few things that can happen. If you think about it mathematically, if you have more people drawing cash out and less people paying money in, either they have to reduce the benefit to everybody, which already is only at $1,474, or they have to increase the restrictions on who's going to be eligible to receive it, or the system may just break and collapse. So I'm sure the politicians are going to put their heads together between now and 2035 and figure out what to do. But again, if your projected retirement date is past 2035, that's all the more reason why you need to start thinking now and planning ahead and try to put other pieces in place for retirement so you don't have to count on Social Security as your sole source of income in your retirement years. This way you can live the lifestyle that you want in retirement, the kind of lifestyle that you deserve.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. That was great information. Michelle, when can people really apply for their Social Security benefits, and what age can they retire?
Okay. People can apply for their Social Security benefits online at ssa.gov or by calling 1-800-772-1213 or in person at their local Social Security office. And they got to be at least the age of 61 years and 9 months in order to even submit their application for retirement or spousal benefits, because that's how some people may have never worked. But if you are married and your spouse worked, then you also, you know, get to apply for spousal benefits. And their payments can start as early as the age of 62. Okay. Mm. So the age when they enroll to draw determines a big role for when they start receiving their payments amount. So they got to make sure they go on SSA.gov and look at how much money they will receive at various claiming ages, as early as 62, all the way up to 70. You know, if it's 62, it's going to be a small amount. If they go to their full retirement age, which is about 70, if they can delay it up until about 70, then they get a higher amount. So each year that they delay taking their Social Security, you know, up to their full retirement age of 70 will benefit it will increase by 8% every year. You know what I mean? So depending on your age or your birth year determines what's your retirement age. Okay. The full retirement age is 65 for those born 1937 or earlier. For baby boomers, it's 66, right? So it really depends on when you started paying into the program, what looks like full retirement age for you. So each individual needs to go onto SSA.gov and look up how much money they will receive at those different ages, starting as early as 62. But realize you're taking a big hit when you draw it at the age of 62. The longer you can wait, the better off you'll be. And, yeah, we're going to have young people paying in and older people, you know, listen, they need to pay the dang money back, okay? Stop borrowing from the Social Security Administration and not want to pay the money back, because how the heck does the – you know y'all get me fired up. It's like this money don't just disappear. Stop borrowing money from social systems to pay for other things and not wanting to pay it back. Just pay the money back. If they pay the money back, compound just work for everybody. So there's no way that this money is just evaporating because people are drawing from it. You know what I mean? They have to pay the money back. It's our money in order for us to be able to draw from that money. People have been paying into this system since the 30s, right? So that money is not just disappearing. You got some people that are passing away before they can even draw money out of the system. They need to pay it back. You know, you got me fired up now. You need to pay our money back, stop borrowing money from the system, and not wanting to pay it back. The money needs to be paid back so that everybody can draw their Social Security. Remember, I told y'all, it's our money. They're administering it, right? They're holding on to it. They, you know, helping it to gain the compound interest. But they need to put any money back that they have borrowed from that system in order for this system to be able to carry the American people the way it was designed to do. And also people need to be aware of how public policy changes in order to disenfranchise different groups of people. So if we want to talk about the history of how it started, let's look at what's actually going on now in order for us to want to vilify the system and say things like, people think they're entitled, right? And we can have a whole nother discussion about dog whistle politics, but we need to understand that this is our money and they are administering it for us, taking care of it, and we are expecting for them to take care of it the way they're supposed to.
All righty. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another great broadcast at Finances with Francine and Friends. If you would like more information about Social Security or any of the other topics that we have shared with you, please give me a call at 757-567-6734, or you can send me an email at f.humphrey@5ringsfinancial.com. And if you're thinking about retirement, at 5 Rings financial, we do have some tools that we can sit down with you and go over, because this is, again, a personal conversation, and we're just giving general information here on this broadcast. So, Kevin and Michelle, thank you so very much. It has been delightful, as always. Have a great weekend, and God bless you all. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for having us, Francine. It's always a pleasure, Kevin, even though you're from Manhattan.
Thank you, Francine, for having us. I do appreciate you having me every week as a guest. I'm not even going to comment about Michelle, but I do love her fashion.
All righty. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.